Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Last week, if you will recall, in our lesson we looked at idol worship, I-D-O-L, and how that Israel had turned and started worshiping idols versus worshiping the true and living God. And in that lesson, in like figure, we identified that there are things that can become idols to us as we go throughout the course of life. And good people, as we consider those things and then even things that are beyond those of which we mentioned last week, we need to make certain that we keep things in His proper perspective, and that in doing so, that we always put God number one in our life. Number one, as we live our lives for Him, but then in two, as we come together to worship and to praise God, that it is indeed God that we focus upon in and throughout the course of our life. Today, I want us to look at idol worship, and in this, it's not a repetition of the last lesson, but rather, as we look into I-D-L-E, to make certain that we do not become complacent with the life that we have in service to God, but then in like figure, that we do not come here and just merely go through the motions of worshiping and praising God. In doing so, good people, again, I want us to turn to the Old Testament Scripture and to see the way in which God has dealt with His people. As we think in terms of the Old Testament, we understand that the law of Moses had been given by our God. And good people, in this, God commanded Israel to worship Him. God wanted Israel to understand that He had delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and that God had loved them, and in loving them, that God had took care of them on a continual basis. And as a result of that, good people, God wanted Israel to focus upon Him in matters of worship. Whenever it came to Israel worshiping God, God defined what acceptable worship was. And good people, because of the fact that God had defined what acceptable worship was, then Israel was to conclude what non-acceptable worship was. God did not have to say, "Do not worship me in this manner," but rather because of the fact that God had told Israel how He wanted them to worship Him, then Israel was to comply with those things. Then also God warned Israel against idol worship. Not I-D-O-L, but rather I-D-L-E. He wanted Israel not to just go through the motions, good people. He wanted Israel to love Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. As Israel worshipped God, Israel was commanded to keep the Sabbath. They were to remember the Sabbath and to identify that indeed this was the time that God wanted them to focus upon Him in a very special way. But then in like figure, they were to keep the Passover. They were to realize the deliverance that God had given unto them, that God had indeed freed them, and that God, in freeing them, had demonstrated a love for them like He had not demonstrated to all others. But good people also, Israel was to keep the feast days. They were given multiple feast days, of which they were given great detail in regard to these feast days. And then in like figure, Israel was not to forsake. Israel was to constantly keep these feasts that God had given unto them. Also, God wanted Israel to remember the deliverance. On a continual basis, God reminds Israel of the fact that they were being oppressed there in Egypt, of the fact that they were slaves there in Egypt. And for this reason, God wants Israel to understand His divine love, mercy, and grace that He extended unto these people. Good people, what do we find in regard to Israel? First off, we understand that Israel complied with God's requirements. Israel realized, they came to understand, they appreciated in a very real way what it was that Jehovah God had done for them. And for that reason, we find in the very forefront of their being delivered that Israel is very anxious to do what it is that God commands of them. But then in like figure, good people, we understand that as they went on, they were committed to doing exactly as what God had commanded them to do. In fact, we understand that whenever they came to the land, into the promised land, that Joshua, as he was getting ready to die, he challenged Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And good people, in a response to that, we find the leaders in Israel and all of Israel saying, "We will serve Jehovah God." Israel was compliant to the commandments of God, and Israel was committed to what God had commanded them to do. But also, good people, sadly we find is that Israel complained. Israel complained against the leaders that God had given them, but not only against the leaders that God had given them, Israel also complained against what they considered to be strict laws and requirements. requirements concerning their life, but not only concerning their life, the strict requirements that God had imposed upon them concerning matters of worship. And for that reason, Israel constantly complained against our God. And in this, we understand that over time, Israel became complacent. They became self-satisfied with the worship that they were offering to God. Good people, they got to the point to where they were just going through the motions. And in going through the motions, Israel expected God to be satisfied with their sacrificial offerings, as is depicted in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 11 and following. In all of this, good people, we come to a conclusion that Israel had corrupted the temple of the living and true God. They had corrupted worship. They had corrupted the relationship with our God. In all of this, how did God respond to Israel? The people of God challenged Israel with these words. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 11, the very first portion of that, He says, "What is the purpose of your sacrifices to Me?" He wanted Israel to look to the sacrifices that they were offering and saying, "Israel, are you doing these things merely because you know that you're commanded to do them? Or Israel, are you doing these out of love and appreciation for the things that I have done for you? Israel, what is the purpose of your sacrificial offerings that you are offering unto Me?" And the people also, He instructed Israel. He says, "I've had enough of the burnt offerings and of the ram offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls and goats, or of lambs and of the fat offerings." In this was Israel, had they finally reached that magic mark or magic number wherein that they had offered the number of sacrificial offerings that God wanted them to offer, and that God now is going to be pleased that no more offerings is required of them? Good people, that's not at all what we find. Israel had grown complacent. Israel was just going through the motion. And God is saying to Israel, "Israel, if you're just going to come and to offer these sacrificial offerings and just go through the motions," He says, "I've had enough. In fact, Israel, all of these things are making Me sick at My stomach." And for that reason, God commanded Israel. He says, "Wash yourselves." Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. He also commanded Israel, "Put away all of the evil." Good people, whenever He looked at their attitude in regard to worshiping Him, He says that this is an evil. It was sinful of what they were and were not doing. And God commanded them to repent of it. And these things, what about you and I, whenever it comes to New Testament worship? God certainly wants and desires mankind to worship Him. And this, in fact, is a passage we looked at in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 last week, where we understand that we shall worship the Lord our God, and Him alone must we serve. Worship is indeed a very vital part of being a New Testament Christian. We understand in regard to worshiping God that it is a privilege. Jesus Christ lived here in this world. And in living here upon the face of the earth, good people, He lived an exemplary life. He lived a life that you and I can turn to and to look to and to understand that indeed, while He was here, He showed us God. Also, He explained the will of God, the direction that God commands each and every one of us to go in. And for that reason, you and I need to make certain that as we live our life here, that we live our life in the same direction that Jesus Christ lived and walked during the course of His time here upon the face of the earth. But then in like figure, we understand that Jesus Christ willingly gave His life at Calvary. And for this reason, good people, not only have we been forgiven of our sins whenever we obey Christ in baptism, but now also we have the privilege of coming together upon the first day of the week as God's people with God's people. And for this reason, God wants us to understand that our worship is an appointment. Each and every Lord's Day, we are commanded to come together upon the first day of the week. And today I tell you that every week has a first day to it. And for that reason, each Lord's Day, every first day of the week, God commands you and me as New Testament Christians to make certain that we come together to worship and to praise God. In fact, we have an allusion to this in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, wherein that the Apostle Paul, knowing that the Lord's Day was coming, remained in Troas. Why? Because he knew that the disciples were coming together to break bread. He knew that the disciples were going to come together to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus Christ. He knew that the saints were coming together for the purpose of worshiping and praising our God. And good people, he also understood that if he remained, that he would have an opportunity to proclaim the message, the saving message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Worship is indeed an appointment. And as you and I live here as New Testament Christians, we need to make certain that we take advantage of each Lord's Day to come together with God's people. But also we need to understand that worship is a memorial. We have an opportunity to remember what it is that God has done for us. As we surround the table, as we partake of the emblems that represent the body of Christ as well as the blood of Jesus Christ, good people, you and I have an opportunity to connect with God. And in doing so, we understand that God is pleased with us whenever we focus upon these things that God has given us as a memorial concerning the sacrificial offering of His Son and our Savior. But also, the Bible tells us that worship is a time wherein that we receive instructions from God's Word. As we refer back to the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible tells us that Paul preached unto them, ready to depart upon the morrow. Paul preached what? Paul preached the same thing as what Timothy was told in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and following. He preached the Word of God. And whenever you and I come together, it is an opportunity that you and I have to receive instructions from God's Word. How are we going to be able to understand what it is that God wants for us? Yes, we can certainly read and study the Bible upon our own. And by all means, you and I need to do all that we can to make certain that we do give ourselves in a constant, continual study of God's Word. But then in like figure, God commands us again to come together for the purpose of receiving instructions concerning His will. And a part, a very vital part of our coming together is the preaching and teaching of God's Word. But also, good people, we understand that we have responsibilities when we come together. It's not up to us to decide what it is that we will do, or what we will say, or what we will not do, or will not say. In all of this, we understand is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 17. Paul said, I want to come unto you, but if I tarry, he says, I teach you, or I tell you how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Good people, we understand that there is a way that we must conduct ourselves while we are here. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 says that we must do all things in a decent and order manner. We have responsibilities to the Word of God. We have responsibilities to make certain that as we are going through and doing the avenues of worship that God has prescribed for us, that we do these things in a way that will be pleasing and acceptable to His sight. In all things, God is to be glorified. Every time that you and I come together to worship, we are coming together first to connect with God. We are coming first to worship, to center upon, to focus upon God. And whenever we do the things that He commands us to do, and not only do the things that God commands us to do, but whenever we do these things right, and what I mean by that, good people, is that whenever we do these things, not just merely going through the motions, but rather that we desire, that we aspire to be here, in all of these things, we can realize then that God is indeed glorified. But not only will God be glorified, the Bible tells us that another vital part of our coming together is for the purpose of being edified. That word edified in Scripture literally means to be built up. As New Testament Christians, as we worship, as we surround the table, and as we commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, as we are led in songs, and we sing these songs that focus upon God, and upon what it is that God has done through Christ for us, and upon the life of which God wants us to live, but also then, as we hear lessons from God's Word, we ought to be built up. These lessons and all that we do in worship, good people, ought to help to encourage us. They ought to build us up in a spiritual manner so that when we depart from this building, that we go out into the world and then that we're able to live our lives in a more richer and fuller way, in a way that we know that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. In all of this, it is a blessing to come together for worship. Amen? It is a blessing to come together, to be here in the presence of God's people, to look out and to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is so encouraging. To see your focus upon the lesson from God's Word is so inspiring to me, so motivational. But then two, to understand the love that you have for one another, but not only for each other, the love that you have for the souls who will come. And to be a part of that which we are striving to do here, and all things, of course, is to glorify God. It's such a blessing as a minister, but I trust that it's not only a blessing for me, that in like figure, for all who are here, it is a blessing because of who and what we are with one another. But the Bible tells us that there is a greater blessing that we need to understand is in our presence. And good people, that greater blessing is God. Every time that you and I come together, and every time that we do things that God commands us to do in terms of worship, but not only whenever we do those things that He commands of us, whenever we are doing those things right, whenever we want to be here, whenever we are fully pouring ourselves into our worship, we understand that God is here in our presence. And to that we say, Amen. What a wonderful feeling that is to know that God is here with us and that He is receiving the worship that we are offering in His holy and righteous name. Sometimes, though, as Christians, you and I can be lazy. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you and I can be just like the sluggard that is referred to in the Old Testament Scripture. And he says there in the context is that sometimes we can be like the door on a hinge. And he says, in like figure, the lazy person is whenever they are in bed. Sometimes it's hard for us because maybe of what we have done the night before, or maybe because we have not anticipated doing the Lord's Day in the coming of the week, or as the week was going forward, that we grow tired and we grow lazy, and for that reason, or whatever the reason might possibly be, we are like the sluggard who will lay in bed and not attend worship service. And good people, understand, in doing so, you and I can become complacent in regard to our worship. God looks at that. And I will trust, and you can trust, that God is not pleased whenever we refuse to come together as His people. You and I, as is taught in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, need to consider the ant who is very small, works on a continual basis. And in all of these things, good people, you and I need to understand that there is no time for laziness whenever it comes to Christianity. There is no place for us to just say that I don't feel good today or that I'm too tired, but rather we need to do all that is within our power to do to make certain that we want to make certain that we assemble with God's people. And in assembling with God's people, then we are participating in worshiping and praising our God's holy and righteous name. But then in like figure, sometimes you and I, in regard to our worship, we can become ritualistic in regard to the offerings that we're giving to God. You say, Kevin, what do you mean? We understand, as we are taught in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that we must worship God in spirit and in truth, and that God is seeking us to worship Him. In all of these things, good people, we come to an understanding that you and I, in our worship to God, that we must have a thus saith the Lord for the things of which we do. In doing all of these things, then, we need to make certain that we are doing the things that God commands us to do, and that we're not just going through the motions in doing so. In all of this, what I mean is that sometimes you and I can present our worship to God in a thoughtless form or fashion. How so? In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we are commanded by God, as what the Apostle Paul wrote and commanded the saints at Colossae. He says that we are to sing to one another. And in singing to one another, that we are instructing one another. And good people, in singing, that we are worshiping God. In this, sometimes, though, you and I can just go through the motions. Brother Greg always does a marvelous job whenever he stands before us and directs us and leads us in worship. And sometimes, if our attitude is not right, if our focus is not what it needs to be, we can look at the words on the page, or we can look at the words on the PowerPoint and merely sing or say the words without in reality thinking about what it is that we are singing and saying. God wants us to focus upon the words, and when we focus upon the words, then our heart is involved in these things, and as a result of that, God is glorified through our songs. But also think about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 34, we are commanded, as the saints at Corinth were commanded, to partake of the Lord's Supper. And in partaking of the Lord's Supper, God wants us to reflect. He wants us to look back to the cross and to think about the cruel sacrifice that Jesus went through for each and every one of us. And then also He wants us to do a personal examination of our life, to look inwardly to ourselves and to see if we are truly living the life of which we profess to live as a New Testament Christian. How many of us take the time to do that each Lord's Day as we partake? And I realize that there are so many things that we have going on in our life that can and does consume our time. And in doing so, we may be thinking about lunch that's coming up. Maybe we didn't get a good breakfast or a full breakfast, and the stomach's starting to growl, and we start to think about that instead of thinking about what we should be. Or maybe we have something that's affected us during the course of the week, and we're thinking back to that. Or maybe we've had some turmoil that took place, or things there at the house that just isn't right. And for that reason, we focus upon this, and we focus upon that. And before we know it, we've consumed the Lord's Supper, and we've not even thought about what it is that we are commanded to think about. Good people, that's thoughtless worship. That's going through the motions. And all of this, God wants us to understand that as Christians, we should always desire to glorify God. Whenever it comes to attending worship services, you and I ought to be like David. David says that he was so happy to know that he was going to be able to go into the Lord's house. And you and I, each and every Lord's Day, every Sunday, we ought to have that motivation. We ought to have that level of love for God that says, I can't wait for Sunday. In fact, on Facebook, on Saturday nights, I have been posting, it's Sunday coming again, and I can't wait to be with the brothers and sisters, to look at you and to see you in worship, and to know that we're coming together for the purpose of worshiping our God and Creator. It excites me. I cannot wait to be here, and I trust that many, and I pray that all of you are that same way, that we want so much to be able to worship our God in a country wherein that we are provided freedom. Good people, it is indeed a privilege, and God has given us an opportunity, therefore, to come together, and you and I ought to be motivated every coming of each Lord's Day to be here. But also the Bible tells us that we ought to be dedicated in worship. Yes, doing the right things. Making certain that we have a thus saith the Lord, and that's next week's sermon. Next week's is ideal worship. We're going to play on some words all the way down through here. Ideal worship is that we worship God in truth. But good people, we need to understand that we must worship God in spirit. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? It means that everything that we're doing in worship to God, that we're giving Him our very all, our very best. As Greg is leading us in songs, not only that Greg is leading us in the very best that he can, but that every single one of us is supporting, that every single one of us is singing along with everything that we have as we are partaking, and as these men are helping us in passing the communion around, it's essential that we give our 100% thought over to thinking about examining our lives, as well as looking to the sacrificial offering. As we're hearing the lesson, not thinking about lunch, not thinking about going out here to Walmart, not thinking about the week that's coming up on us, but rather, good people, concentrating 100% in God's Word. That's true worship, amen. In these things too, we need to determine in all things to glorify our God's holy and righteous name. In all things, in our life, as people see our good works, the Bible says, let them glorify our Father which is in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it's in the context of worship. As we worship God, let God be glorified, amen, in all things that we say and do. This morning I ask you, is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with your worship? Number one, is He pleased with you? Are you a child of God? Have you confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted and surrendered yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If the answer to that is no, then the answer, no, God is not pleased with me. But Jesus Christ gives us an opportunity to have our sins forgiven to where God can be pleased and will be pleased with us and our obedience to Him. But then the second question, is God pleased with your worship? If not, what are you willing to do about it? Pour yourself into the worship 100% so that you will get something out of it and so that God will receive the glory and honor as you and I come together each Lord's Day.